Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.
Good morning, I'm Chris Farrell, sitting in for Angela Davis. You're listening to NPR News, and I'm glad you could join us today. You know, many adults can think back to a time when someone other than a close family member took an interest in them. Maybe that person taught them a new skill or helped them through an emotionally tough patch. You know, mention the word mentor, and I immediately think of Bill Wolman, Seymour Zucker. These were two wonderful editors, really characters, that taught me so much early in my career. And mentors can play an important role in a young person's life, especially in the lives of children who may not have a lot of adult support or guidance. Sometimes mentors can make a difference between thriving and surviving. And connections with a caring adult can mean even more with the isolation so many children are dealing with during the pandemic and so many older adults are dealing with. So today, let's talk about what makes for a good mentor. What are the benefits of mentoring and how to find opportunities for mentoring? And the phone lines are open. You know, tell us, give us a call. Has a mentor made a difference in your life? You know, tell us that story. And have you been a mentor? What did you learn from or get out of the experience of being a mentor? What would you like to know about what it takes to be a good mentor? Give us a call, 651-227-6000 or 800-242-2828. And now I want to bring in our guests. Darryl Thompson is a former running back at the University of Minnesota and professional football player with the Green Bay Packers. He's president of Boulder Options, a nonprofit organization that matches children ages 10 to 14 with adult mentors in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Rochester. Welcome, Darryl.
Good morning. Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. And Susan Basil King is president and CEO of Wallen Education Partners in St. Paul. It's a nonprofit organization that provides scholarships and support for first-generation, low-income college students. And I'm glad you could join us, Susan.
Yes, thank you for having me.
And again, I just want to reiterate, I want to hear from listeners. I want to hear your stories about mentoring. Did mentoring, someone mentoring you make a difference? Have you been a mentor? What did you learn from your mentee? And if you've been a mentor, what tips do you have for people who are thinking of becoming a mentor? Call us at 651-227-6000 or 800-242-2828. And I want to begin by asking both of you a series of the same question. And first, just so we're all on the same page, I think we all know what a mentor is, but just what is a mentor, Darryl?
A mentor is a guide, or maybe as described in dictionaries, a wise and trusted friend.
Susan?
Yes, I would agree with that definition. Hi, Darryl, by the way. We know each other.
Oh, good.
So we share a common mission, I think, to helping low-income students succeed. In our view, I would say also that a mentor is a guide. It's a little less formal and can be someone that you've chosen or who's chosen you that shares a life experience. At Wallen Education Partners, we have mentors who are also professional advisors.
Okay. And so, Darryl, is there a mentor in your life that you'd like to highlight or that influenced you?
Well, probably the mentor, you know, my mentors in early life were my parents. You know, they were my mentors, and they mentored many other young people. So I saw it growing up. And then as I've grown up, I've had many mentors from teachers to coaches to friends to sometimes just the guy in the neighborhood that you just chat with every once in a while about, you know, just kind of what's going on in your life and things like that. So I've had many, many mentors in my life.
Susan, is there a mentor you'd like to recall?
Yeah, I've had lots of them as well. There's certainly the personal mentors that are family, friends, girlfriends, but professionally, I've had some really close mentors and guides, both in at an institution and in a business professional capacity as well.
So before I go on with some other questions that I'd like to ask, want to go to the phone lines right now. And let's go to John Carlos in Columbia Heights. And John, I understand that mentorship made a difference to you.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
And so tell us about your experience.
Yeah, so I'm actually a former Wallen Scholar and recipient of that program. I graduated high school in Blaine locally, and I had this dream of graduating college. I loved school. I was at the top of my class, and I got to go because of that financial aid, but more than that, because of that advisor, that mentor. And my first 2 years were pretty good and beautiful and full of that college experience, being involved in the community, getting to know myself, getting to grow. But my third year, I started experiencing real challenges. I started experiencing real difficulty. In that 12 months, in that year, I experienced burnout, depression. I was diagnosed with cancer. I had to go through 4 surgeries. I withdrew from school. I went back to school next semester. 2 weeks later, I withdrew again. I went through so many difficulties. I came out of the closet that year. I went back home and lived with my parents. And after all of that, when you withdraw from school, those support systems that normally exist are no longer there. My college wasn't giving me a call. My college wasn't checking in on me if I was going to come back. But Wallen cared. Wallen checked in, and I had an advisor, which is like a professional, super-focused mentor who was there for me. Her name was Liz. Mm-hmm. And Liz, first and foremost, cared about me. Not about just going back to school, not about just getting good grades, but how am I doing? A lot of programs can be transactional or conditional. If I'm doing good, then I'm okay. If I'm not doing good, then I don't get a check in the mail. But this program, my advisor just cared about me and helped me navigate what does going back to school look like? What does transferring your credits look like? What does taking care of yourself, your mental health, your medical health look like? And Liz and I would begin to meet. We had a coffee house in St. Paul. We'd meet every month or so, and she would mentor me, and she would help me navigate these complex systems. And then I transferred credits, and then I took a class, and then I took another class as I worked full-time. And 6.5 years after I started my college journey, I graduated.
Yeah, congratulations. And I'm thankful. And the cancer?
And the cancer is gone. Thank you to the Mayo Clinic and 4 surgeries later, and now no, I don't have cancer anymore.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that, and thank you so much for calling in. And Susan, I want to ask you, you know, off of what he's talking about in terms of Liz, what makes for a good mentor?
I think in the case of Wallen Education Partners, it's a very acute understanding of what the college experience means for young people, particularly first-generation students. Don't have parents that necessarily can give them that informal and formal advice. Our advisors work really closely with their colleagues at the campuses that our students attend. And so it becomes a sort of a pod or a group of adult trusted professionals that will guide the student through this extraordinary experience, very important to them, but also, as John Carlos represented, confusing and sometimes hard to navigate.
And Daryl, same question to you. What makes for a good mentor? I mean, you know, a lot of us have relationships with younger people, but that doesn't mean we're always able to communicate. We're able to, you know, help them out. You know, sometimes it can be two ships passing in the night.
No, absolutely. You know, and I think the situation with John Carlos is interesting. I think the piece to me that makes a great mentor is someone who listens. And someone who doesn't give up. And John Carlos had that in, with the Wallen Foundation. We do the same thing at Boulder Options. We believe in young people and the value of young people, and we don't give up. We are you know, kind of the motto of our organization, and our workers and former coworkers that have worked with us talk about we don't give up on our youth. Whatever it takes to figure out to get through this situation, we're going to work with them and get through that situation.
And let me, so The follow-up question to this is, so what makes for a bad mentor?
I'll be quick with that one. Someone who, someone who doesn't, you know, someone that comes in with a pre-existing plan. You know, like, hey, I'm going to fix this kid, and we're going to be going. They're going to go to college. We're going to become a doctor. We're going to become business partners. Those types of things. If you come in with a perception of what is going to happen, then it's usually not going to work. You need to work with the young man or the young lady, work with the staff, work with the community, and work through the situation.
So this listening is a really important aspect of being a good mentor.
I believe the most important aspect of life is listening.
Well, let's go back to the phone lines, and let's go to Dave in Minneapolis. And Dave, I understand you were a former mentor with Boulder Options?
Yes, that's correct. I was a mentor about 7 years ago for an 11-year-old youth from the Minneapolis area. And I had heard that mentoring changes two lives, and that certainly is the case for me. We had a very successful mentorship relationship, and I still stay in touch with my mentee 7 years later. He's a football player and a track athlete for Minneapolis North High School, and I've been able to attend some of his athletic endeavors. And I started off by saying it changes two lives, because I believe that I had a positive impact on my mentee, but I think he had an equal impact on my life as well. And I'm blessed and changed as a result of my relationship with my mentee.
Well, tell us a little bit more about that. What do you mean?
Well, an example I can give you is I was at an event that was coordinated by a friend of mine. It turns out that I grew up about six blocks from where my mentee lived, and I was participating in this event that was set up by a friend of mine. And I said to my friend, you have no idea what impact this has on a kid from the north side of Minneapolis. And she said, which one of you? Meaning that it was having an equal impact on my life as well. I heard people talk about listening earlier, and that is absolutely the hallmark of a good mentor. There's no science behind it. It's being able to listen, being able to provide some advice if it's asked for, but most of all, someone that they could count on showing up. With the Boulder Options, it's 2 to 4 hours a week for a whole year. It's a major commitment, but the mentee also makes the same commitment that the mentor makes. So spending that much time together and working on improving lives together is what makes it all worthwhile.
Well, thank you very much for calling in. And Daryl, when you know your group, you're matching children ages 10 to 14. So what's been the experience during the pandemic with that group and with mentorship?
It was a challenge, and it is a challenge. It's always a challenge. And early in the pandemic, it was just, you know, we were all kind of huddled in our basements or in your bedrooms and things, you know, online. And little by little, you know, the staff was challenged, and they really, really stepped up to the challenge and, you know, listened to the families, work with them. And we started doing things that we don't traditionally do. You know, we started, trying to figure out ways for kids to get headphones, for them to get tablets, for them to get food. So it was more of a little bit more of a direct service than we typically operate under. And then obviously a lot of things moved online with video conferencing and Google Chat and Zoom and all those pieces. And little by little, we just kind of were able to, and people stepped up and got involved. We learned a lot about our donors, our supporters, our volunteers, our mentors. And people are like, you know, hey, what can we do to help during this time when we can't officially get together? Anything from food delivery to helping out our families to online pieces. And we all just kind of grew together and really strengthened our organization during the pandemic.
So, you know, from your perspective, how big is the need for mentors?
I think it's big. It's as big as any time, you know. And I think if you have unofficial mentors, like you know, some of the like we talked about that I had growing up, and you have official mentors, the someone that's a Boulder Options, a Big Brothers and Big Sisters, or with the Wallen Foundation. So I mean, there's a need for both, and hopefully people realize that, you know, you never know how big a deal it is to smile at a young man or young lady when they're coming up and down the street every day. Smile, high five, just have some fun. We sometimes get stuck in our world and get over serious with everything that's going on. And so we just take a break, smile, have a little bit of fun. It can make a big difference in the life of a young person.
Yeah. And I want to go back to the phone lines in just a minute, but Susan, from your experience, again, the pandemic, and how has the pandemic affected your program and the young people that you are working with?
In many, many ways. And I would, again, agree with Daryl's assessment of the acute nature of and the immediacy. I remember very clearly when we locked down back in 2020 March, where the first thing that Wallen, on my first Zoom call with the staff, was about, my goodness, what about the international students, the students who are from our community that are studying abroad? How do we make sure that they get back in a timely fashion? Some of you might remember that period of time.
Yeah.
But then after that, you know, our first need was to think about how we were going to serve students that had been in a classroom at 68 different colleges, and now they were going to be in their home or maybe still in their dorm. And we needed to make sure they had the technology assistance that was going to be so essential to continuing their studies. So we spent a lot of time working again with our college partners to make sure the students in our program had what they needed to become remote learners. There were also lots of changes around internships that all of a sudden weren't possible and had to be discontinued. So I would say we had this, the value of having a mentor and an advisor is you're in touch with the students in such a trusting way that you can really guide them as they're challenged through this time. But of course, for us, this was new too. We had never been through a pandemic.
Right.
So as an organization, we had to be mentoring ourselves in a way.
Well, let's go back to the phone lines, and let's go to Sarah in Minneapolis. And Sarah, I understand that you run a mentoring organization.
Hi. Yes. Chris, first, I want to thank you for having this conversation, because I think it's really important. And Susan and Daryl, it's really interesting to hear what you're all doing and how you see mentoring in your communities. And so I'm coming to you from South Minneapolis. I run an organization called Mentor Minnesota, which provides mentoring support to mentoring organizations across the state. And I actually have a personal connection with Daryl. I used to be the program director at Boulder Options and consider Daryl one of my own personal mentors. And I came to mentoring because I had some really strong mentors in my own life, including as a child. My long-term mentor for over 10 years was my French horn teacher. He taught me French horn, but he also was someone who I could talk to about my emotions. He was like one of the only people that could really workshop problems with me. And I valued him so much. He made a huge impact on my life. And it was through his guidance that, you know, I worked through work issues, and I, you know, considered my education opportunities, and he really pushed me to challenge myself in college. And I don't know where I would have been without him. And I feel kind of similarly about Daryl and other folks that I met in the mentoring world, because we really create a space for, or not even us, but I think adults have a really important space for young people and helping them see their strengths in mirroring their needs and their emotions and creating opportunities for true organic growth that lies with the young person. I both felt that myself, but was able to witness that through other mentoring experiences with young people. And right now I sit on the board of another mentoring organization. I clearly can't get enough of it because it's been such a big part of my life.
That's very cool. Yes. I mean, passing it forward.
Yeah, exactly. And through that, I'm on the board of a place called Queer Space Collective, which is a new mentoring organization for LGBTQ youth, one of only 5 in the country. And what we're really seeing is that young people need and are craving mental health support, and even just somebody to listen to them, hear what they're going through. Because during COVID, we're seeing people are not only grappling with, you know, how do we survive this? How do we handle our schoolwork? But they might be trying to grapple with a new identity and how to show up for themselves. And so adults have a really important part in that. And so I guess my parting words are just, if a young person seeks you, or you notice that a young person, you know, is drawn to you, listen, because you never really know when you can make a huge impact with somebody. And it's not going to be all fireworks and, you know, roses when it happens, but adults can make a really important impact with young people every day.
Well, thank you very much for calling in, and I love your story. And before we go to Charlene in Grand Rapids, Daryl, she mentioned the impact that you had on her.
You know, I did pay her for that comment, but, you know, Sarah was a tremendous employee inside our organization and grew and said she wanted to learn and to do more. And I advised her to get on a few boards, and she got on the board of the mentoring partnership, and she was pretty humble. I mean, she's the executive director of the mentoring partnership of Minnesota, you know, with the umbrella of over 250 organizations and, you know, part of a national movement and part of the lifeblood of what Boulder Options is founded around for best practices and things like that. So Sarah is a tremendous individual and actually came back and mentored for our organization as well, and has been, you know, kind of part of our community. Obviously, like she said, she can't get mentoring out of her blood. She's mentoring, she runs an organization, she mentored for our organization, and she's, you know, doing things with Queer Space and other organizations. She's a tremendous individual and very humble.
Okay. Well, let's go to Charlene in Grand Rapids. And Charlene, what is your experience?
Well, actually, it was not in Minnesota. For 12 years, I was a teacher in Camden City in New Jersey. That's where I come from.
Okay.
And I actually worked for a school that was called, it was MedEast. It was part of the Big Picture Learning. And we did project-based learning. And part of the curriculum was two-day-a-week internships that our students went out on. And so they were, their job from ninth grade on was to kind of hook up with a mentor. And that was an arduous task at times, especially when they were in ninth grade, to like really get good internships with great mentors for these kids. It didn't always last as we went through the process. Some of them didn't work out so well, but by the time that they were seniors, they really had some great career exploration experiences, and some of them have mentors that they probably still talk to today. But my job was actually to, as their advisor, I was like in charge of making sure all of the mentorship, the mentor, the mentee, it was a good fit, and, you know, that they were doing what they were supposed to and all that kind of good stuff. But I really have to say that it was probably, it was such a large impact on all of my students to have someone in their life that they could talk to. And sometimes it was about anything. It didn't have to do with just the career that they were in and what they were trying to get done at the business themselves. It was about life. And many of them didn't have that adult figure in their life that they could ask questions, or maybe they did, but I mean, I have teenagers and I know how sometimes they don't want to talk to their parents anyway.
So, right. Of course.
It's great to have that adult impact. And I just, all of you, as I was listening to this, I just was really touched because I'm no longer in that, but I think that there's such a need, and especially in our most underserved communities and our kids that, you know, kind of get not swept under the rug sometimes or passed over. They need this adult interaction. They need this guiding force in their life. They don't all come from families where parents are listening or accepting or anything like that. So it's great that there are programs out there for our youth to, you know, further their interests and their careers and just their path in life.
So I'm curious from your experience, even though I know it was a while back, but it sounds like it had a really powerful impact on you. From your experience, what made for a good fit between a mentor and a mentee?
Well, you know, I don't think that anything is just clear cut, but personality was big. And You know, I had a lot of kids that came. A lot of them had learning disabilities and different things like that. We allowed kids in our schools. There were no, like, here, you know, there was an application process, but it wasn't because, you know, anything was accepted. It was just they had to apply to get in. So you had to make sure that the mentor was really going to be able to fit with that mentee and that personality, you know. So, and anyone who's worked with youth know that they act one way, but that's because of something else, you know. So
right.
Those two things really kind of had to mesh. And sometimes I heard, I'm getting ready for work right now, so I was like, I heard someone else say this about how the, it doesn't really work if a mentor thinks I'm going to go in and fix them and I'm going to make them, you know,
right.
And that you had to really watch out for that. But I also did have students that were really type A, and that was what they needed. They did need someone who was like, okay, come on, let's go, you know? But you, I just kind of felt like it was, I had to read the room with them and make sure that, any mentors really understood my students. And I followed them from ninth grade to 12th grade. So I had the same students all 4 years. So I really knew them.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for calling in. I really appreciate it. And for sharing your story. I'm Chris Farrell, sitting in for Angela Davis. And my guests today are Daryl Thompson. He's president of Boulder Options, a nonprofit organization that matches children ages 10 to 14 with adult mentors in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Rochester. And Susan Basil King is president and CEO of Wallen Education Partners in St. Paul. It's a nonprofit organization that provides scholarships and support for first-generation low-income students. And I want to hear from you. Phone lines are open. You know, tell us, has a mentor made a difference in your life? You know, we don't want to hear that story. Have you been a mentor? What did you learn or get out of the experience? Call us at 651-227-6000 or 800-242-2828. And Daryl, Susan, I want to go just right back to the phone lines. And then, so I'd like to then get your reaction to the conversation that we've been having. I mean, what you're hearing from our callers. But first, let's go to Boys in St. Paul. And Boys, I hope that I pronounced your name correctly.
That's correct.
Oh, good. And so what is your story?
Well, it's going to be non-traditional. And I'm going to kind of characterize it as the story of my three Georges. George number one was a man named George Smith. George number two was a man named George Bailey, and George number three was a man named George Wright. George, and let me preface this by saying I never used the word dad in my life, even though I had a father. So the importance of having someone to guide you, I can tell you by personal experience, is very important. Now, George number one was, I was introduced to him for a summer job. By my band instructor. It was his friend. When I went over for the job, he had karate trophies, and I had been into karate, so the first thing we did was spar. Well, I got the job.
That's an unusual application, but okay.
Exactly, right there in his living room. But subsequently, 3 weeks later, he fired the white guy, foreman, and I became the foreman. And then I hired all my friends, and we worked landscaping, and I bought my first car at 15. So he also was a very enterprising man, so he took me on a lot of his business trips and introduced me to the enterprises that he was working on as well. And so I sat at the table and learned a great deal. That was my George number one. I'm going to try to wrap this up
okay. As
quick as possible.
Yep.
George number two was a man named George Smith. He had worked in a power plant and had developed, I guess, what people call mesothelioma now. So he couldn't work anymore. He was retired. But he played basketball, and I had met him by playing basketball. That became a real close relationship, and I decided his wife was a real estate worker and a teacher. And I went into this club one night and decided that I wanted to have his club, and I went to him and his wife, and they got the club. And So then I hired all my friends and we ran a club. But it was for kids, you know, no alcohol, but I became a DJ, and it was, again, another great experience. He subsequently opened up a restaurant, which I ran for him as well.
Okay.
He passed, suffice to say. But again, that was another George.
All right, and then George story, number three.
George, his name is Dr. George Vandegrift Wright, professor of political science at the California State University. Now, how I met him was that, long story short, after Rodney King, I decided I needed to get an education. And so what was I going to do? Was I going to throw a rock through, you know, City Hall or, you know, a crowbar through a ready teller? What was I going to do? So I decided to get an education. So I got on a bus the very next day while L.A. was burning and went to the university off the streets and got in. And when I met George Wright, he was a person that everyone said, you have to take his class. Well, I really had no intention of doing that until I went on a retreat with the AS president with, you know, a group of kids. And one day he came and saw me coming through the courtyard and said that they had a vote on divestiture of products in the book, you know, in the Associated Students for South Africa. And that the vote had went through, the foundation had agreed to do it, and he needed help. So I asked him, well, okay, how did it happen? Okay, so it's a parliamentary process. First thing we got to do is learn parliamentary process. You know, same way you lose. Okay, so then it's like, okay, I didn't know anything, but they said, go talk to Dr. Wright. I went to talk to Dr. Wright. Suffice to say, he guided me.
We got to bring that. I'd like to get into some other people here now. So
I'm going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
He guided me into it. We won the vote eventually, but I became his research assistant on his book that he was writing for 10 years, for 7 years.
Okay. Well,
and so he became one of the greatest influences in my life. So those are my three Georges.
Well, great. Well, I'm glad that you called in and told this story about the three Georges. And I'm going to ask Daryl, Susan. So, Daryl, what Boyce has called in about or some other callers that you've heard, I mean, what is your reaction?
Well, just about the importance of mentoring, you know, the three Georges and, you know, the story earlier with John Carlos about the importance of having a positive adult role model in your life makes a difference. And, you know, I point out the fact, and we've talked about it many times, you know, the life of a lost individual is over $2.5 million. You know, it's the crime, it's the court costs, it's treatment, it's all those pieces. So to be involved with a young person or an old person or a very, very young person at an early age and get them on a path for success and being a productive citizen just makes a lot of sense. And, you know, Dave said it earlier. He was a mentor with us at Boulder Options. You know, it's you think you're going to, you know, get involved and help a young person. You're really helping two people. You're introducing two people that wouldn't get involved in each other's lives for any other reason. You know, you're not going to ride over into South Minneapolis or North Minneapolis or to Golden Valley or Brooklyn Center if you don't have a reason. But once you have a reason, you learn the neighborhood, you learn the people, you learn the culture, you get connected to someone else, and you're extending the family, the relationship, and the culture. And it's something we need more of in the world that we live in right now.
That's right. And Susan?
Yeah, when I listened, I was thinking of a couple of characteristics that really speak to me. One is that over the course of a lifetime, you can have many different mentors, depending on where you are, what the mentor can offer you. I think trust and sticking with it clearly is something that makes mentoring important and effective from both sides of the equation. And I think not bringing judgment to mentoring is another important thing that you want to consider. The good goes along with being a good listener. At Wallen, we think about meeting students where they are. What are the needs that they have? What knowledge can we bring to where they are in their journey in college? So all sounds very familiar. And again, so important to keep people moving forward.
Okay. Let's go back to the phone lines. And Samara in New Richmond. Samara?
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. What is your experience?
Yes, definitely. So I work for Wallen Education Partners as an advisor, and I've had the honor of working with students for the past 4.5 years. I work with both 4-year and 2-year students who are trying to get their degree at those institutions. And really, our work is really comprehensive of the student experience. Like Susan just said, it really is focused on what is it that the student is experiencing as they're going through college, and really helping them navigate the complexities and obstacles that may arise throughout the school year. And as an advisor, being able to give students personalized tools to navigate those obstacles that may arise. So something as small as how do I purchase a textbook, or something that feels small, like how do I purchase a textbook,
right,
can make a big difference for a student. Or answering bigger questions like how do I know if this is the right career for me, or how do I know if this is the right fit for me, that really one of the most rewarding aspects is being able to empower students to show them how to advocate for themselves, especially during the pandemic, where students were doing online learning. And just being able to talk through questions and concerns has really meant a lot for students during this time. And I think someone mentioned earlier, being able to have conversations around mental health, that has been a really big one that has come up, because the support systems that students had built on campus now looks a little bit different. So being able to kind of navigate those complexities that have been arising for students has been something that is pretty unique to our role, that we're able to kind of navigate through various spaces of conversations. Mm-hmm. And it's something that is, I really feel like it's very, again, empowering to students of, once, how can I learn these tools? So once my advisor is gone for the day, or, you know, I don't talk to them for another week, how can I also kind of navigate the things that they've given me to be able to apply them and kind of do some problem solving on my own as well?
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And thanks for telling us about your experience.
Thank you.
Let's go to Patricia in River Falls. Patricia, and I understand you had a mentor in college?
Yes, it's similar to the very first caller. 1975, I was 20 years old, and I had a 1-year-old and a 2-year-old at home. And I was working a 40-hour-a-week job at a local factory. I knew I needed to have something besides children at home and the factory, so I thought I would just take a class or two. And I was blessed to be assigned Dr. John Bushin as my counselor, supervisor. And because I was in such a unique situation, he was able to get me through. It took me 10 years because I had 2 children and a 40-hour-a-week job. But he got me through school, and as, you know, you got frustrated, he would talk me back into it, and this isn't the Trish I know talking, we're gonna get you back in next year. And so I went straight through. When you get to be those junior and senior classes, you know how they like only do alternate years? Well, he would make sure that I would get into the classes I need so I could graduate. And the other fun thing on that is my children, the only doctor they knew were medical doctors. So I remember one of the first few times I met with Dr. Bushin, they heard me call him Dr. Bushin, and I remember my son asking, so are we going to get lollipops? And then, so with this experience, my children would meet with him, so they also got that benefit. And right now, my daughter is a program director for children with autism. My son mentors, coaches baseball, basketball, has 3 children of his own, and I'm a professional with the Minnesota Supreme Court. And I truly give this all to Dr. Bush in keeping me in college.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, I love your story. That's wonderful. And I do like the your kids and the lollipop. I think that was great. Let's go to Glenn in Minneapolis. And Glenn, I understand you were on the board of Boulder Options.
Yes, in the past, before we started a family. So, yeah, I did want to share, and hi, Daryl. I wanted to share how mentoring actually changed my mind, my life, even though I was the mentor and I had 3 other mentees that I did at different times. I started mentoring when I was really young, probably 24, I guess, and it helped me grow up. It showed me that my life isn't really representative of how a lot of people get through lives. I think I had it easy, and it kind of set me straight for what I wanted to be as a father when I eventually got married. I actually met and married my wife at Boulder Auctions, which is a totally different story.
Okay.
And then on the board, working on a board with a mentoring organization like Boulder Auctions, given how young I was, it showed me a completely different side of the professional life that I had. So just wanted to touch on that, even maybe challenge the listeners to say, even if you think you don't have enough time for mentoring, it doesn't take a lot. We struggle. One of the biggest things that we talked about at our board meetings is how do we get more mentors? Mm. And I believe that's still the same. I'm sure Daryl can share a lot more about what a struggle it is to get people in the door to mentor. So just wanted to share that. Thanks for doing this on NPR.
Well, thank you. And so, Daryl, finding mentors.
Oh, it's a challenge. It's something we do every day. We're working and we're thinking, you know, Glenn and a lot of other folks have helped us tremendously, but it's a major commitment for us. And we, as a activity-based mentoring program, a lot of it's through running clubs, biking clubs, shoe stores, and those types of activities. And obviously the races and runs in around town are also, Twin Cities Marathon has been a strong partner and advocate for us over the past almost 30 years.
And Susan, how do you find mentors? And is it a challenge to, you know, to sign up mentors?
Well, our mentor advisors are actually employees, full-time employees at Wallen Education Partners, but we also have informal mentors through a program we developed a few years ago called Wallen Wisdom Project. And those are mentors primarily from corporations and other businesses that support the scholarship program, and their employees who are very interested in learning more about the students that we serve. And also, as employees, they want to be engaged in their community as well. And so they generally find us. We do outreach, but it allows employees at organizations, I'm thinking about Medtronic, U.S. Bank, et cetera, they get to meet our students. And usually it is a conversation about their career path, what got them to their jobs, how they chose their major field of study during college. So we have had pretty good luck in certainly in building a talented staff, but also bringing our corporate partners into the mix as well.
And Daryl Hope from Mountain View, she writes in, so how would one find a mentor?
How would someone find a mentor? That's a great question. You know, number one, you know, I don't know how old Hope is, but I think it's worth, if you see somebody that you feel like is in the field that you'd like to be in, it could be yourself, Chris, because I do a little bit of broadcasting as well. And I've had people say, I just want to get into broadcasting. What do I do? Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. And we sit down and we talk, you give that person, that individual, some advice, and they may become an informal, maybe it's once or twice a year. Maybe you sit down once or twice a week. You never know where that relationship goes. But I say, reach out, you know, call the people that are in the field, go to the office, you know, and just reach out and take advantage of the opportunity and take advantage of your youth and say, hey, let's sit down and talk for a little bit about what you're doing.
And Susan, same question. I mean, outside of your organization, I mean, you've been involved in mentoring for a long time. I mean, how does someone find a mentor?
I think you just think about, you know, people in your lives. I think also for young people that don't necessarily have the social capital that some of us do, ask people for help. You know, Daryl's example of, you know, you have a young person that's interested in a field of study or a job or is interested in coaching. You can almost always find the adult that will help you, connect you. I think just, you know, being aware of what you want, what you're needing, and look for people that seem to be on that same course, shared experience, I think is also very important. So my encouragement to young people is ask the adults around you what they think. They'll help you.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. And Bruce in Lake Elmo. Bruce, what is your experience with mentoring?
Well, my wife decided that I should do something other than just work, and And so she talked me into signing up to become a big brother. And I was assigned a young boy named Mark. Mark was about 11 or 12 at the time, and he wanted to go into medicine. Well, I'm not in medicine, but my whole family is. So I learned real early that Mark was very quiet. He didn't want to say anything. But I was very careful to not have the radio on or the television or anything noisy so that he could talk. And after sitting there for about half an hour, he would always open up and tell me what was on his mind. Well, what happened was that he graduated from high school, went to college. I helped him get a scholarship because I went down to the college where I had gone, Cornell College, and I told him that I had an outstanding young man. And the first year, particularly, they gave him a good scholarship. And the long and short of it is that he graduated from college, went to medical school, and is now working for Mayo Clinic as an anesthesiologist.
Oh, great. Well, that's wonderful.
Quite a wonderful experience. It taught me to be a better father because I learned a lot from being with Mark. So by the time my kids came around, I knew how to listen to kids and be with them.
Ah, well, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your story.
Okay.
Thank you. So, Daryl, when you're looking ahead, so we're in this pandemic, the importance of mentoring. So what is it that you would like to do next? I mean, what are you focusing on as, we're now in the new year, 2022?
Well, we'd like to continue what we're doing. We'd also like to serve more kids. I mean, that's at the end of the day, each year we serve between 100 to maybe 150 new kids, and we do some speaking, and we have probably between 500 and maybe 750 kids in our alumni network, and we speak to kids, but serving more kids is always the goal. So the format like this, Chris, is an honor to be here. And I listen to you every morning. My wife is an NPR addict, so it's great to be on your show and have the opportunity to share with the listeners. So we appreciate it.
And Susan, same thing. So now, we're in 2022. Unfortunately, the pandemic is still with us. And so how is your, as you're dealing with this year, building your mentorship network?
Yeah, I think that the pandemic has presented extraordinary challenges for everyone. So that really underscores the importance of these solid nonprofits that are really serving the most vulnerable around us who are disproportionately affected by COVID. So I also think the more advising, the more mentoring we can provide for students, the more successful they'll be in college and the more successful they'll be in life.
Well, thank you very much. This has been a wonderful conversation. Daryl Thompson is the president of Boulder Options, and Susan Basil King is president and CEO of the Wallen Education Partners. And this conversation was produced by Maya Beckstrom. And be safe, everyone. I'm going to talk to you tomorrow at 9.
Thanks for listening to a recording of my live radio show on NPR News. A reminder, if you want to catch the show in real time, tune in and call in at a new time, 9 a.m. weekdays on NPR News.